That's everything.
I learn everything from Facebook, so that's my new source. Guys, Wikipedia.
And... we're good in France anyway. That's actually real, because when you see the predictions of the water rising, you can see like France is just, you know, perhaps you lost a bit of Britain, of les Bretons.
Yeah. Oh, Britain. Yeah. Brittany.
Brittany, but that's all. So you're good.
Are they going, yeah? Yeah. Are those the first to leave?
I think so. There's a region, but that's it. France, which is weird because it's a small country, but they lose nothing. But the US, for example, is like, oh, the whole Florida thing is over if the water rises.
Is that what the Everglades are, like, full of water essentially coming out of there?
Yeah, it's swamp. Yeah. It's swamp. There's already too much water there.
Yeah. But if anything, that doesn't seem like such a bad thing from what I've heard from Florida, though.
For them to all die? Yeah, right.
I don't know. Is it just it's full of retired...
Well, to be fair, it's going to be... eventually, like, a really good movie again. You know, there's the movie 2012.
Yeah.
And if you go back to coronavirus, there's definitely going to be a coronavirus movie, which is pretty sick.
That's what I love about humans, right? We do great movies out of things. It's like, would you have prevented the Second World War? Yeah, but Ryan, right? You have to save this.
The moment the planes were... like, in the building, someone downstairs was writing a script.
Yeah, right.
He's like, this is going to be a good movie.
Yeah. This is, by the way, this is the stand-up comedian mind, right? Because whenever some shit happens to you, you're like, you know what? It's going to be horrible today, but I will have a 5-minute set on this soon.
I've already thought about the day I get corona.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking about, like, how to... feel better. It's like
you're trying to write
about it.
Is this how your mind works? You're like projecting yourself in a horrible situation.
Just
and you're
like,
okay, I can get corona. I know how to handle this now.
I can handle this with jokes. And the worst is it bombs, but you're like, you know what, I'm a writer at heart. So there you go. I'll be honest, I didn't know the podcast started.
Have you started?
This is it. Yeah,
okay,
right.
cool.
This is it.
I was gonna say, yeah, it's just a bit fucked, isn't it, really? I don't know. Looking at it there, everything shut down, off work.
That's the thing. We all are waiting for something to tell us the end is near, but there's never this. There's never, like, some bad signal that, all right, this is it. We're, like, battle royale, you know? No. And we were like, okay, I guess we have a pandemic. Okay. Guess things are shutting down. Okay. But perhaps it's France, though, because in Italy, it's
fucked.
It's fucked. But here we're like...
I don't really know, because, like, for example, I tried to look at the numbers of it, and I think it's something like 150,000 people die a day, just generally. Yeah. So, gone, like that. It's like 2 every second or something like that. Ridiculous. And I think at the moment... I think it's 2,000 people died from coronavirus, something like that in total. Is that bollocks, or am I just like gonna seem like an idiot by saying that?
It's still less than the flu.
Because people make connection with the flu, but I still think that it's kind of, if you look at 2,000, is not a big number in the grand scheme of things. Do you know? Because
I love how we talk about like climate change, virology, with our background.
Yeah, we know.
Gross science.
But that's the point, isn't it, these days? It's more important to have an opinion than it is to
start
base it on facts.
We start a podcast about expert things.
I don't know. For me personally, I think the side that interests me more, which I've been looking forward to, is the economic crash that's coming. Because I've been saying this not just me personally, like a prophet, but I'm quite aware that after the 2008 crisis... that problem was not really sorted out. They just pumped a lot of money into it.
Where?
Then we've seen 10 years of a bull market where we've seen like all these bollocks startups being created. You know what I mean? Like how many startups there are in Paris that should not exist? And now this is the 2020 correction where all them people are going to go and have to find a real job or do something that actually is worth money rather than just rely on investors that are just throwing their money into bottomless holes.
Into ideas and without nothing to show for it.
Yeah.
Luke, I can be honest. I didn't know you had that in you. I was just like, who is this person? I was like, I thought he's just the guy who talks about pedophiles.
It means like you saw Luke and you thought he was a startup guy.
I thought he had just stats on pedophiles, not just.
Did you hear about that? Apparently, actually, France's biggest pedo is on trial at the moment now, isn't he? You know, from Sant. Well, you're the one who directing the conversation in that direction. Did you hear about him, though?
Oh, which one?
Just a guy who's on trial at the moment. Look into it.
But I'm guessing I have a friend who's a lawyer. He always has pedophile cases. Yeah. So there's always trials of people like this. So.
Yeah, but this guy's like prolific. They're talking like in the hundreds. You know?
Oh, yeah. I know. Is this the surgeon?
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly.
Yeah. This one is like fucked.
Yeah, I don't really know the ins and outs of it, but it doesn't seem right.
Yeah. It doesn't seem right. It's like, you know the regular pedophiles. I can agree
like
with.
Like the prince but on an island. Guy. Yeah, we all know a little bit of entrapment. We forget to take a pass, check a passport, and there you go. But
no. Are people talking about this? I mean,
no, media? I just saw it on the news today.
Okay.
I don't know. No one talks about anything on the news, really, do they?
Can you just fathom the level of horror if this story peaks a little bit in between the coronavirus? It means like, oh, we should talk about this guy, though. It's like everybody's going to die, but this guy was horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, it's strange how they choose what's on the news, really, isn't it?
Well, you know, journalists, they just have to make money, right? So they just want clicks now.
So it's all sensational.
Yeah, I think. I feel like we're talking about that. Alt-right people.
What do you mean, alt-right things?
Yeah, right, because we, like, yeah, the media.
Oh, yeah?
We're talking about, like, Alex Jones, you know? The media are controlled.
Oh, yeah?
You want to have money, you want to secure your job as a journalist, so whatever you're going to do, you're going to talk about something that is kind of a little bit clickbaity. No one wants to know the intrication of corruption in between, like
Luke does,
but Luke besides, does. Yeah, Luke.
I definitely
but do. But that's the thing, also, you know, there's Mediapart in France, so you pay for news, and they actually do great investigation on this. But it's kind of already biased because the news is done for people who are willing to pay for it. So it's like, okay, if you're someone who is willing to pay for good information, you're not the problem. In society, how can we convey those real news to the people who don't want to pay for news? I guess that's my question.
Yeah,
my real question is, as humans, we see an article that says pedophile, and a lot of us were like, you know what? Click. Yeah, click. You raped it. Holy shit, that's crazy. Next. Yeah. Like, right. It's weird.
The old car crash, and you slow down just to have a peek on the horror.
Scream
just,
that in it.
Yeah, let me see some blood a little bit. Let me see something. Oh. Just to be perhaps glad you're not in it. I don't know why we're doing this.
I don't know. It's a bit like, for me, it reminds me of my notifications on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
If I see something come up, you know, it's like, oh, 10 people shot. I'm like, ooh. Where? You know, like, you're not sure where, so you're thinking, 10 people have been shot.
You first.
Yeah, I'm just
location.
Like, are there real people, or is it in Asia?
Yeah, but that's it. It's just, and it's like, only casualties is when they're injured, isn't it? And you're like, no deaths, like, boring. You know, you're just like, but you have something like that. And it's the same with, like, for me, I love a good, like, oh, there's been a earthquake, possible tsunami. That's what I'm like. I'm in for this now, and I just want to go live, direct, watch it. I don't know. Have you never had that? When you hear a tsunami warning, you're like...
We're live streaming the tsunami.
I just want a VR experience of the tsunami.
That would be awesome.
Be there. Like... Yeah, I don't know. For me, it's quite interesting. You know, when you see the tsunami videos, for me, are some of the most interesting things to watch.
But I get it. I mean, there are videos like this, so you can watch them, and you're not the only one. According to the views, so we are, I don't know, fascinated by being close to death, I guess.
Yeah,
or big things. I don't know. I would love to see in my life like a big asteroid, like in the movies or whatever, kill the dinosaurs. I don't want to be here to have the consequence of it.
But you'd like to see it.
I would like to see it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like to experience it. Like,
yeah,
the life aliens is about to change.
Mm.
But instead, we have the coronavirus.
Exactly. So and a... life just becomes just a little bit slower and yeah. duller.
Duller. Yeah, definitely duller. Like, sports is off. No, yeah. No music. Just the only thing that goes are
comedy.
Well, yeah, just shit comedy. Like hours, just like 30 people in a basement hoping to get corona,
just because their life would get better and they could talk about it in their podcast.
Yeah,
no, but there's gonna be a lot of people if this ever stops. It won't, but if it ever does, there'll be people who'll be like, you know, I never caught the coronavirus.
Yeah,
and they'll be douchebags.
Yeah, 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 because I took my precautions.
Actually, I was washing my hands before it was cool to wash my hands.
I think it would get more to the stage of maybe in like 4 months, everyone would be like, maybe it's not as serious. No, I'm making this bold prediction now. Wait for 10 million to drop off the planet, but it's not as serious as people are making it. Yeah, with conviction. No, but I don't know. I think that maybe in about 6 months, it might pass. And there'll be those who are like, I never even thought it was that much anyway. Mm, you're yeah, all shitting yeah. yourselves. You know, I think that might be the case. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, the alternative is everyone will die. So
Maybe not everyone will die.
No.
Just those who need people? To die.
Yeah, right. No. What we call the weak people.
I'm only kidding though, because fucking it would be sad though, wouldn't it? But I don't know. I think the first
hot take.
I'm trying to move away from it, you know, yeah, distance right. myself from my own comments.
I mean, less people in the metro would be nice.
Yeah, oh. I don't use that thing anymore anyway. I really try not to.
That's why? Because you don't have any money.
No. Actually, what for the not enough money for the metro? No. Actually, I found out today I fucking paid €100 in January, €100 in February to use the Velib, the electric bike.
What? Oh, then you just should take the metro.
Yeah, I don't know. I should maybe. I wonder if you can rent a carriage out for yourself so you don't have to be surrounded by people, because that place. I'm at like La Chapelle, so you know every time I go in there, you have to kind of you're confronted with some sort of. Desperation, you know, tragedy. No, it's true, not in a bad way, but just is what it is.
Yeah. What's your metro station, Alex?
It's none of your information. Okay. It's Boulogne Jean Jaurès, but it's
that's a nice
decent, yeah.
Yeah, right. Because it can inform your whole day, you know.
Mm.
I mean, you're going to La Chapelle, so already you're like, okay, there's a lot of people, perhaps. Here, I'm like, Goncourt is okay. There's not a lot of people. It's spacious enough. And you're like, okay, I can start my day like this.
Mm.
And him, obviously, Boulogne Jaurès. I think there's free baguette and croissant, right?
Yeah.
That they're giving you.
Sure.
How many times have you been offered to buy cigarettes?
Every time I pass by there, yeah, isn't the cigarette guys are chilled. It's more to do with the thieves that's the problem. You know what I mean? Because many the thing is when you frequent the same place very often, you recognise the patterns of the thieves, don't you? So you just kind of get to know them, and then you've always got to be aware. You know, the techniques are crazy. You know how they like go in front of you, go behind of you. I feel like sometimes like a vigilante trying to save people. The other week I was like. So I get my Velib right next to that station, mm-hmm. and I was just like getting the bike. I was taking my bike out, and I just saw some guy just like running up the hill behind me, and it was just like a robbery going on. And it's just, yeah, I could have helped, and I didn't, and I felt like this is the real moment where I realized that I've been turned into a piece of shit by living here. No, really, because I just saw like a woman chasing after a man.
Yeah,
and I was like, I'm not that guy.
Life.
Yep.
You live and you learn.
Yeah.
Stop having a bag, madam.
Yeah, I had a similar situation where some guy got his phone pickpocketed, and he's running, and the guy screamed like, "Mon portable!" And I was sitting down, like eating like some fried rice thing.
Of course.
And then I see them, and I was looking at my food, and I was looking at the guy. I was like,
should I?
And then I do the calculation of like, he's probably faster than me, anyways.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
And then like doing the math of I haven't worked out for a while.
I'm looking at the distance, I'm like, I'm not gonna. And then the thing is, after the fact, I was like, oh, I could have maybe taken a picture.
Oh, the guy. Yeah, right.
What the hell's that gonna do?
But that's a show police thing.
And what are they gonna do with that?
But sometimes you taking a picture makes them take back the phone to the guy.
Oh yeah,
yeah, I think so. I've heard one story about this.
I don't know. I tried to intervene in a robbery as well near the Sacré-Cœur, and there was like these kind of guys. Yeah. They were trying to rob this old guy. They were doing the same trick, one in front, one behind, as to go in his pocket, and I just kind of didn't want to be like, hey, stop thief. So I just kind of got in front of everyone and started speaking to the man who was being robbed at the time. And I was like, be careful, be careful. And then they all just turned on me like, what are you talking about? You're racist. So they pulled that one on me straight away. And then I just realized that I was just outside surrounded by three guys screaming at me. So I just ran into a hotel. Like, yeah, follow me in here then. It's very cowardly, but yeah, right. Most of my story, yeah, most of the things that happened to me do.
And you getting kicked out of the hotel. No, it's a robbery. It's a long story.
Exactly. There are people stealing outside. Yeah, of course they are.
Yeah. I saw a guy being pickpocketed and he stopped it. An old guy. He was like 70 years old. He was with his wife, tourists, obviously, around Anvers and whatever.
Yeah.
And he just Leonidas'd a girl in the movie 300. When is it? This is Sparta.
Yeah, yeah.
He just like kicked
no.
someone out of the metro.
The thief kicked somebody or the guy being robbed?
The guy kicked the thief.
Yeah, just
but
like straight into the chest.
That the thief was like... 1.20 meters.
Okay.
And the guy was a big guy.
Yeah.
Even if he was old, he was like a big guy. You're like, okay, this is a little bit violent, but I guess, you know, you're in it.
That's hilarious.
You're in it.
I'm bravest when it's against women. I've stopped some women pickpockets.
Yeah, but never met.
Oh, come on in, hero. Come on, hero.
Because, so around the Eiffel Tower, there's a lot of pickpockets.
Do people work the Eiffel Tower as a pickpocket?
I think the only maybe positive of the coronavirus is that even the pickpockets are like, this is not sanitary.
Oh, yeah.
But I think.
Thinking twice.
Once they get more desperate, like, fuck it, whatever. But.
when there's no more toilet paper, they will steal some bills out of you.
But like around the Eiffel Tower, there's a lot of like gypsy women with like a piece of paper that talks about some charity that does not exist, that deaf and blind people, which is very ironic. And so they go up to people and they say, "Ah, do you speak English? Do you speak English?" And then if they do, they make them sign something, and then they talk. Then because they think it's a charity, they give them money directly, right?
Mm.
And so a lot of times, since there are these like late teens, early 20s, like small Eastern European women, I'm like, I'll stop these people. And then I'm like, you can't stop. And a lot of times I do in front of my clients, which is even more.
Is that because you want a tip?
It's very like horrible mentality, but I do it. And then a lot of times they're like, oh, because then I'm like, stop, it's a scam, can you not?
Oh,
do
yeah
it?
Right, okay.
And then
but like, they don't believe you.
No, the clients. Well, sometimes they don't believe me. It's like,
just think you hate charity.
The guy's confused. Like, I'm trying to give to charity here. Excuse me.
Yeah, right.
But a lot of times, so they'll stop, and then the lady will start screaming. It's like, la, 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 la. And then talk about my mom being a whore, like, obviously. And then, a lot of times, the last time it happened, I was like, yeah, stop. And then the lady holds my hand like this and goes like this. And she's like, ah, it's me touché. Viol.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I wouldn't rape you.
Oh,
no, but it's just like, fuck.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Desperate, I guess.
And then I always do a hacky joke to the clients just in case they're like too scared. I'm like, that's just my ex-girlfriend, guys.
Yeah, right. I don't rape at that time.
I work hours. But it's pretty
crazy. You must see some shit though. What are the weirdest tourists you had on a tour at the Eiffel Tower? The weirdest question you had.
That's a tough one. Oh, I don't know, the weirdest, just weird in terms of how stupid someone can be. Recently, someone said, Paris is the country, yes? Okay. I was like, oh. And like, no, it's France. No, it's Paris. And then that was the end of the conversation. I was like, okay. And then he's like, what's Belgium? He's like, above France.
Where or what? Just like, what is Belgium?
He's like, he couldn't even, he's like, why did he, like, in his head, he's like, why did he even mention that? I wouldn't know what North is, apparently. I was just like,
the concept of North.
I don't know. It's just, also, there's,
it must be so relaxing to be that dumb, right? I mean, they took the plane here. They literally had, somewhere, they had to see France on some ticket or something. Mm.
And that's to fill out some paperwork.
Yeah. Yeah. And yet you're here, dumb as fuck, saying like, Paris, this is the
country. So in the paperwork, you were like, which country are you visiting today?
Paris.
Paris.
Yeah.
And the guy sees us like, I feel too bad for this person. Yes, welcome to...
Or perhaps he said, yeah, yeah, this is Paris.
He's like, I knew it. Yeah, it's just... And then I only got like flat out weird people like, bleh. Just like... Sometimes I got to really rude people, so sometimes I have to talk about how, like, yeah, just don't, do you have any, like, sharp objects, like scissors, knives, ball openers, things like that? And then the lady goes, all right, enough with the small talk. Can we go?
Oh, my God.
And then there's professional me that was just like, oh, yeah, just need to finish. And there's, like, Mimi who's like, fucking ass. Like,
yeah, that must be hard to, like, not bring the true self out.
I know you have this moment. I have this moment a lot in like showers, but like you have the full on thought after.
Oh yeah, right.
And like you win the argument after.
The good comeback that you should have had.
And the good comeback I had thought of like 2 weeks later was you cannot talk to me like that. It's not even that good.
It's just self-respect. She's like, the comeback is just, I exist as a person.
Hey man, this isn't easy.
Which is, again, like, I wish I were dumb as those guys and also took as much space as this person without asking myself questions.
But that wasn't even the end of it. So we start walking towards the Eiffel Tower. And then at some point, she comes up to me while we're walking. She's like, I'm so sorry for earlier. I was like, oh, okay, maybe she had like an epiphany or something. Uh-huh. It was just like random moment of stupidity that happens.
Right.
And she's like, I'm so sorry. It's just my husband knows that I hate tour guides. And, you know, this is just kind of a waste of time. And I'm just like, it's my last.
Would you have stopped at, I'm sorry?
I was like, and I came up with the worst answer ever. I think I said something like, oh, that's interesting.
Wow, you seem like a shadow of yourself when you're at work.
No, just because...
I hate myself too.
Yeah, imagine you said that. I hate all tour guides and myself, so join.
No, I should have said that. That would have been funnier, but...
Yeah. Oh, you'll know that for the next time you have someone next, like that.
Well, no, because the Eiffel Tower is closed forever, but...
Oh, yeah.
Do people not drop things off the Eiffel Tower? Because I'm always thinking, you know, about... Mm.
Yeah, drop things off.
I don't know. Just maybe someone just throws a euro and hits someone.
I mean, it probably happens, but they go through security clearances multiple times to make sure.
Is there a sign saying don't throw euros off the top?
I mean, there's signs that say don't have padlocks.
Yeah, imagine drop a padlock on your head. Because I've got a big fear of something dropping on my head from a great height or something exploding. I always feel like there's a gas leak in another house and I'm just going to die like that. So
this is your first fear.
those are two of my main fears that I live throughout the day with.
That's the whole fear of coconut killing you, right?
What is that? 2000... That's not a fear.
No, that is a thing.
Yeah, 2,000 people a year or 200?
That's less than...
200,000.
But no, that is real because coconut killed my cat.
Yeah? Really?
Yeah.
A coconut killed your cat?
So I used to live in Indonesia. And, oh no, stupid. God, I have so much respect for my cat, my rabbit. Sorry.
Okay.
he does another animal.
Whatever, one of those animals I ate. But, basically, I used to live in Indonesia. And so I had a backyard, and then I had like some small coconut tree thing. That's super Asian. And we see, like, we all went to work or to school, and then we come back home, and then we see this rabbit, like, his leg is destroyed, and next to a coconut, and we're like, this is the weirdest, like, detective case, mm-hmm. like, who does this? And so, I mean, unless, like...
The coconut had a knife!
Unless they framed the coconut...
We have coconut fingerprints all over them.
So that's got to be a weird way to die.
Yeah. Your fear is valid.
Yeah. But with things falling from a height, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you see it all the time, especially when it gets really windy.
Do you meet a lot, you as an expat, you too, by the way. I mean, you because of your work, though. You must meet a lot of expatriates from other places or not?
Yeah, I try not to because I really don't really like expatriates generally.
From you.
Yeah. I make a concerted effort to meet as few as possible. I don't know, I just find expatriates to be like a bit laborsome.
But always, in your first year here?
First year, no, because my girlfriend's French, you see. So when I first moved over here, the first 3 years, I really didn't have any friends apart from hers.
So it was
I tried a little bit, but then I realized that I don't know. I just thought it was a bit, I don't know, always the same type of conversation. It's just they are so first 3 years didn't find many friends, started doing stand-up comedy, then that's just started with meeting a few people like that who just do the circuit, the scene and all that. And yeah, but I think because of Chat Noir there is on the Monday night, they have that spoken word poetry night, which when I started doing the stand-up comedy, that's where I started down there. So I met a few down there through that. They're chilled people then. But it's just generally outside of that, those sort of annoying Americans who are just here for a year and stuff like that. I can't really be down with that.
I love how he nods. He knows what you're talking about.
Just, not every American, but just those kind
Let's have a picnic near the river and have public drinking. Yeah, I know.
Public drinking is all right. But
no, but like to have like a whole picnic on the Seine.
Yeah, that whole thing there, go to the Seine, and I don't know.
It's like a checklist of things they ought to say they did when they were in France, when they were living in France, when they come back.
I got the coronavirus here too.
Yeah. You have to do that.
What's it like to have
a girlfriend?
I have that now, but how is it like to have friends that are your girlfriend's friends?
It's fine, to be honest. At the very beginning, it was a little bit difficult, you know, because you come over and you just don't really know anyone, so you're just like, you just have to start from day one with everyone. So you don't really have those real close friendships. And at the beginning, I was like trying quite hard to be mates with her mates, and then I realized mates don't create friendships just by being that desperate guy. Do you know what I mean? Like, wait, I remember I could go like a month without even having a phone call or a text message on my phone, and it'd just be like, let's just not even charge it, let's just leave it there. And so that was, it was grim. If anything, that's why I started doing stand-up, because I was like, well, there's nothing else. No, it wasn't the only reason, but fuck, you know, at least it meant I could speak to people but not have to like emotionally invest in, like, okay, let's let this person know about who I am and all.
Yeah,
that's
convenient to have like friends of your girlfriend, because it's like you don't have to do the maintenance work for this.
Yeah,
but they are still here to have a social life. Yeah, right?
But weren't you always feeling like the plus one?
Yeah, but my girlfriend's one of those girls who's got all guys as friends, you know, like rather than girls. Like, it, maybe
one
it'd
of those
be different.
Girls who are like, having friends who are girls, it's just not me.
She doesn't necessarily say that, but she doesn't seem to have as many girl mates as she does guys, so it's just, I don't know, yeah. For me...
Do you have a theory on those girls?
No, it's not a bad theory. It's just, I think there's more and more girls who only have guy friends. Oh, the reason why, like, I've heard, like, I had a friend who just visited me, And she was like, yeah, I basically only have guy friends. I just, girls are so annoying. I'm like, your words, not mine. But, oh.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that from a lot of girls who actually only have guy friends. Yeah, I don't know. It's a cast of people, I guess. Mm.
But do guys ever say that?
Well, I've only got girlfriends.
I only got girlfriends because, like, because guys are so fucking annoying. So,
yeah. I don't know. Do you know anyone like that?
No, I don't think it exists.
You don't think it exists?
No, I don't think. No, there's guys who only have girlfriends that exist, but I don't think it's because of... I think guys are just annoying. So girls...
who have only male friends.
Male friends. Like, the reasons I've heard from them is because they find girls annoying.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we don't... I mean, we as men, if we had only female friends, we don't even have to give a reason, right? Or people won't ask you the question, I think.
Well, if we only have female friends, it's kind of sketchy.
Kind of sketchy?
It's
are
either
you fucking them or are you gay, right?
People go to that, don't they?
It's like, oh, that's kind of... you're trying to have sex with them. Yeah. Or at some point in my life, I think I probably have more girlfriends than I do guy friends, but it's not because I think guys are annoying.
Yeah.
I just think, at least in this part of my life, girls are easier to... because if you notice, like, guys, when you hang out with a guy, there's not many things you can do with them. You could either go to the bar.
Yeah. Complain about their life.
Yeah. Watch TV or go to a sports match. Something, whatever. Girls, they love to explore new shit.
Yes, and yeah, this is weird, by the way. This is the whole patriarchy, probably, and masculinity thing about, like, you cannot, like, have a male friend and go to an expo. I mean, you can, but it's like, it feels still a little weird, I guess.
Yeah, you
culturally speaking. I mean, I do that with a male friend of mine, but I get it how people think, okay, they go.
It's a bit rare. Yeah, you don't go like, let's go and walk around the... Versailles. Let's go walk around Versailles and have a chat. You don't really do that with me. Yeah. You'd have to be like, well, we'll have to bring weed then, won't we? This will get really, like, weird.
Weed is the buffer to tell people, I guess, you're not gay. But even if you were gay, fuck you. Yeah, right?
I was saying that on Wednesday... who was it? What's his name? Comic lad who runs. What? I'm sorry, I'm losing my mind here. It's just because I'm a bit hungover. The lad who runs Comedy Croissant.
Terence
came back to my house on Wednesday after the show, and we were just like laughing and joking, just like late on into the night. And we were saying, if it was a girl, no, that was it. That's what I was saying here. Is like. I was saying, if it was a girl who was a mate, I couldn't just be bringing them back to my flat. Because I got a girlfriend. She's not in Paris at the moment. Anyway, she's off working in South Africa. And I was just saying that, like, if he was a girl and we just had the same relationship, it would still be a bit bait to be like, come back to mine. Let's just get levered and laugh all night. Because it'd be like, you know, if we were gay, we'd be like, oh, let's just shag, shall we? Do you know what I mean? This seems really fun. Let's just have a shag. But, you know... culturally.
That's why it's cool to be a stand-up comedian, because actually just joking with people is kind of work also. So you can say, I'm just going to meet you in a cafe and we'll write some shit, but we'll just chat, you know. We have that cover, so culturally speaking, again. But
like a podcast?
Yeah, like a podcast, guys. I'm so happy here. It's not recording, my
life. So I don't know. I've come to realize recently that I do actually prefer to be alone, though, than I do necessarily like being around large groups. I find, I don't know, once it gets to more than 10 people, it gets a bit annoying and long. And I don't know, especially when you're at a table and everyone's got to speak at the same, like, in the same conversation. It's like, fucking hell. I'll be at home watching TV.
Six, seven people, that's like the magic number for a good gathering, I think.
Yeah. After that.
After that, all goes to hell.
Yeah.
But, so you had such a magical moment with Terrence that you brought him home and you couldn't even remember his name.
No, I'm bad with everybody's name, to be honest with you. I'm just not very good with names.
Is it a problem?
Not really, because they...
Is it the weed?
No, I don't think it's even that. I think it's more to do with the fact that...
I don't care about them. Yeah.
I have no plans to keep them in my life. No, and that's not... No. Yeah, do you commit people's names to memory very easily?
No, well, the thing is, for example, when I used to be an Eiffel Tower tour guide, I'd always ask their names, like, oh, my name's Alex, what's your name?
How many people do you have on one tour?
It depends. It could range from 2, it could range to 28, something
really?
Like that.
Really? Okay.
28.
Well, you won't remember the 28
worst,
names.
Well, the worst I've done is 38. I was just like, what the f-? Anyways, and so I'll ask the names, and the thing is, most times, I ask the question not because I need, like, I genuinely care. It's just more like, it's something I have to do. Mm. I got out the way. I got the, ask the question, their name question out the way.
Mm.
And then I completely forget during the whole tour.
Mm.
And then one time someone called me out. It's like, you're not going to remember our names. Like, what are you talking about? He's like, what's my name? Brian. I was like, all right, I'm not getting a tip from that guy. But yeah, maybe, I don't know. I think maybe deep down it's the, like, I'll remember people's names if I care about that person, right?
Yeah. Mm.
And right. Since I know I'll never see it, there's a subconscious, like, I'm not gonna.
There's this tip that you actually have to ask someone to do something for you. It's like, I would say, Alex, could you give me that water? And yeah, then you will remember it better because you actually asked that person to do something for you.
Mm.
That's, yeah. I mean, it creates the connection for the tour. It's like when we're on stage, if you want to ask like somebody's first name, I mean, you will remember it for the set because in case of, you know, you want to come back to it later, but after the set, you don't care, right?
Mm.
We won't remember.
Yeah.
I mean, except Allah.
Yeah, Allah, remember him.
Remember.
That girl, she was annoying last night. That girl who was heckling all night.
What'd she do?
She heckled Adrien Arnoux. Like, she preemptively heckled him on a thing about porn.
Hilarious.
And she was like, you should pay for porn. Like, okay.
Exactly, when you're getting heckles like that, what the fuck are you talking about?
Like,
Adria, I don't watch porn.
Adrien handled it really well because it matched also his set.
Yeah, yeah, but, he was lucky, he was going where it, that's where
also,
it was going.
So, I mean, she repeated that. But you should definitely pay for. Okay, you said it already. Already.
That's such a weird.
Are you in the industry? What if I am?
Yeah.
Just one of them people.
What if I, yeah.
It's just one of those people who just like think that because they're hearing somebody talk to them that they're part of the discussion and it's like we're not here talking to you, mate.
It's difficult. Stand up comedy. It's not your.
Plus, his joke is not about like we should not pay actresses and actors in the porn industry.
Yeah,
it has nothing to.
Yeah.
He was telling a story on something.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. You cannot heckle him on a societal
issue
just when he's talking about jerking off.
Yeah. It's like I was on an aeroplane yesterday. You're like, you should stop. You should take less flights. You know, like,
climate change is real. Guys. Yeah. Okay, but I did take the plane though.
What? Oh, fuck it all.
And then I think sometimes you get that a little bit more at Comedy Lab because we have like more regulars coming time and time again. So they feel as if like, exactly. You get those guys who are just like constant hecklers. It's like, mate, give it a rest. You know, for example, you get people who will come see you do your bit maybe 3 or 4 times to see you working on it, changing on it. Mm. And obviously you might be incorporating bits where you're expecting a reaction from the audience. Then this person will just try and write on your jokes like, oh, I'm going to have a fucking good comeback for when he says that again. Mm. It's like, what do you think this is?
Yeah, right.
Go home, stay at home.
It's like they're script doctoring you.
Yeah, it's annoying.
No. But it's good to have a following on your plateau, on your show.
Yeah, it's nice for people to keep coming down. Yeah, I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying that, just watch it.
It's difficult to create that frontier because it's not like theater when you're like, we're not gonna, see you, watch you. We're going to pretend there's this fourth wall, blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
And stand up, you kind of talk to them. So they kind of have the door open, but not really. It's, so we have that responsibility at one point to say, where's our limit as a stand-up comedian? Okay, it's like, okay, the guy before, perhaps you could talk to him.
Mm.
Me, it won't happen this way.
Yeah. Yeah, especially if you're not a comic who's just trying to shut it down, you know, because, like, obviously, with them type of people, you maybe got to just shut them down straight away, let them know.
Yeah.
But
just be brutal.
Just yeah.
Take someone.
But some people's
like,
acts
like
aren't
in
that.
Prison. You, yeah. you beat the shit out of someone and then you're respected.
Sam always comes, like, just before, if I do the host, he's like, please don't call them cunts when you first come on stage. like, why? That ingratiates myself. Yeah, right. Term of endearment.
It's my signature style. You're definitely the cunt guy, that's for sure.
The cunts.
Someone says cunt on stage. Hey, man, that's you're stealing jokes here. It's like, okay, sorry.
Have you stopped doing your show, Alex? Was it with Els?
That stopped a while ago. But
but it wasn't your first show, right? Have you had a show with several?
I have two shows. First show with a girl named Catherine. She's not here. And Fred.
Yeah.
Called Unfiltered Comedy Hour, because we kept it real, real canceled. And then the second one I did was with Els. We just did a 30-30, like, minutes each thing. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty fun. We used to always try to get a musical guest to place in the middle of the show.
Oh, that's nice.
Just get a little break.
Mm-hmm. Did that work comedy. Well with the audience?
Music so it worked. Sometimes it worked too well, because then you're like, oh shit, the musical act is better.
How can I follow that riff on the guitar, right?
Yeah, so.
You should have just have magicians in or something, you know, just have a half-time magician.
I mean, the thing is, I don't know magicians.
There's a magician who comes down all the time, and there's a guy who always hangs about who's a magician. He always gets his cards out.
I mean, magicians always have cards on them.
Of course.
Yeah.
And a hat.
Yeah, but, like, imagine if, like, comedians, we walked around with microphones. Like.
Yeah, but we have our tongues with us always, but I guess I'm thinking about another type of artist. Yeah, it's like, I guess, yeah, if you had, like, your guitar always on you.
Oh. Mm.
But at one point, you know, be a person also.
Mm. Yeah, but you could say that about craft. People. Yeah, you could say that about us, though. Like, people who are just, like, shite comedians who are just, like, always, like, oh, trying to get a joke off here and there. Do you know what I mean? It's like, chill the fuck out. Let's just have a chat, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Was this stressful for you to pack the room? And is it for the shows, I mean?
Yes, because I don't know, because I'm giving 30 minutes of my time, my effort, my skills. And if there aren't many people, it's like, fuck. All right.
Yeah, because, I mean, how much time are you giving to, like, advertisement or whatever for the Comedy Lab?
I'd say about an hour a day or something like that. Like,
oh,
in terms of
a day.
Just in terms of, because
you have
dealing
shows.
With messages, I'm talking about the fact if you're constantly, you've got to at least dedicate an hour to reply to any comedians if they've got any issues. Maybe it's someone asking, they're coming through town and all that type of stuff, or maybe it's like a potential audience member. Mm. Then you've got to do, like, kind of, if you push advertising, copywriting, all that type of stuff. So it just, yeah, it's, I don't know, it's not too much, you know what I mean? I think the thing that's a bit, the only thing that's tiring about it is just, like, the fact that you have to be very regular with it, you know what I mean? It's not like you can take, oh, I'm just going to take this week off. It's more something that builds momentum. We're only just now starting to get, like, yesterday I noticed that the Friday crowd was, there was, like, nobody who would come with the comedians. People would just come through events that they'd seen, or maybe they'd been to or heard of a Comedy Lab before. Right. So the beginning bit was the most difficult, because we had to get it off the ground and get people to know about it. But then now it's starting to get a little bit easier. And we essentially, what we'd like to do is start getting, like, bigger acts to come over from England, and then maybe we can get bigger rooms and things like that.
It would be great. That's, by the way, the heckling thing was kind of a good sign for that, because when I heard the heckling, I thought, so this must be someone who never was here before.
Mm.
So I'm like, it means it works pretty well.
Yeah. I still, I don't know, part of me still prefers performing on like the spoken word, like, what's it called? Poetry scene. Because obviously when you go there on a Monday night, there's no microphone and you never know who's going to go up before you or after you. You know, you get a lot of kind of, like I say before, but you can look on the internet and there's a video of a woman who's like 250 pounds swallowing her own fist. Like that's like, that's real. That's real. That's showbiz. You know what I mean? That's what I'm. That's what I'm in it for. not somebody coming out like
that's poetry.
Said I've got to listen to people talk about like, oh, I'm an expat living in Paris. You know, let's go with that, shall we?
Are you censoring yourself right now?
Did you just realize that half of your acts?
No, nothing to do with my acts, mate. I feel like a porn mogul the way I say that. My acts, my girls are safe. They get tested. And guys.
So that was a yes.
Okay. But what I mean is, though, I do, for me, I like... It can be wild on a poetry night. You never know. You know, often when coming up, I remember one of the most difficult sets I did was this lady done 10 minutes as the guest poet telling about, and it was all like about her husband's brain cancer and how like she still smells his socks in the drawer. And then it was like, just got real, do you know what I mean? Took the energy out of the room. And then it was like, and now for the comedian, you know what I mean? And
this is a good lineup.
It's like, how do I follow that?
Nothing wrong here.
Yeah. Just wanted to go on and be like, cancer, eh?
do you believe her? I saw her husband, he's well.
Yeah. Get over it.
Yeah. No. Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
No.
I think that's the only possible outcome of this. You have to be even more brutal and more horrific to get the room out of like
that psychosis there. Yeah. I don't know, yeah, but that's kind of what I was talking about, actually, coming back to what I was talking about at the beginning. The reason why I do prefer them rooms is just because I don't feel like the audiences give you as many free laughs. I don't know. I worry on the comedy scene in Paris, in English, that...
That's too easy.
Not too easy, because that would suggest that I think I'm funny, but more in the sense of sometimes you get laughs which you know don't deserve laughs, and it's like, that's not funny, I don't know... Sometimes I feel like it's a little bit soft. I don't want to be like kind of lulling myself into a false sense of security where you think you're funny when you're not, you know what I mean? It's like, that's the problem.
So basically, you're like, I just want to perform in front of cancer patients.
And there I will see the real lights.
No, but not, but do you know what I mean by that in terms of, I mean, sometimes the scene feels a little bit like, it doesn't feel like a real genuine, you know, if you're out in, I don't know, north of England and you're playing in a working men's club or whatever, you're not going to be getting by with some of the shite that gets laughs. Mm. So I don't want that.
I don't know. Everyone will have his or her bonus points from the audience even before you're talking. You know, I could say I'm the French guy, so it would bring some novelty, I guess, if it was in English. I don't know.
Yeah,
like here when somebody's I don't know, Russian, let's say, it will be, oh, this is rare, so we kind of like him or her already a little bit.
Yeah, well, I do like that, the fact that being able to learn and practice, and I'm not going on a stage with just like another 10 lads from Manchester or white, you know what I mean, just like, here we go. That it must be boring, them scenes where they've not got that kind of like diversity of act, because at least with us, it's like people from everywhere, and the audiences aren't always first language French speakers. There's a lot of like expats, like we were saying, a lot of students over here, so I'd say 70% of the crowd are first language speakers of English, and those who are not, generally I'd say 25% of the others have a good enough level of English. But again, I don't know if you're getting like the full real response. What do you reckon to that?
I think that I get it, but at the same time, I think maybe that works with you, but I think in a lot of like comedians who want to like go up, yes, eventually they'll have to hit that room where it's just not for them to feel that hardship. It's like, okay. Like, for example, I performed in London and I didn't do too well. I was like, fuck. And I was pretty embarrassed. I was like, shit. All right. Because, like, you know, when you bomb, I bomb, I don't care. But like when I bombed in London, I was just like,
It was more of a real rejection.
Like, not because, like, oh, you know, he tried out ideas and, you know, maybe they work out, but I could see why it could have been funny somehow, some way. It was just more like, oh, you fundamentally don't...
Find me funny.
You're not at the level. Right. So I was like, okay, that's necessary. But at the same time, I think with comedy, a lot of it requires confidence building.
Mm.
And so when you keep going up in an area that's... Luckily, the good thing about the Paris scene is that most of us were friendly.
Mm-hmm.
We're not, like, jealous douchebag. Like, maybe we are. There's no career path.
Yeah.
I mean, it's technically show business, but it's not like we're making €3. It's
But definitely it doesn't have the same stressful feeling that you could have on a French stand-up.
I guess we're more supportive. Yes. It's like it's less stressful. Like
Yeah. Most people are, like you say, we're just like lost expats who need friends. That's essentially what the crowd's made up of. Yeah. But
Whereas, just replaces a bar you can go to.
Yeah, yeah.
It just allows you to...
Whereas someone who maybe starts off here and he or she progressively gets much better as a result because he or she feels like confident, like comfortable, doesn't feel pressured.
Mm.
Whereas if that person performed in
Boston,
Manchester,
and
in that environment of the...
Yeah.
That would kill that person's confidence much that maybe, they wouldn't even want to do it anymore.
That's true.
So it's like
stabilizes.
Yes, stress can make us lose some comedians, I guess.
Yeah,
some possible comedians.
Definitely.
So, in here in the Paris scene, a lot of them are... There's a new wave of new comedians that are just fresh and like eager and opening new shows and stuff. When I did the London thing, I was still relatively young, but I was just like, yikes! But like, I needed that moment as well to be like, okay.
But also, I mean, Don't you think you've drawn conclusions too quickly? I mean, perhaps you just bombed like you would have bombed here, but you just bombed in London, and that you would have been funny another night in London too.
Not when I performed in London there. That was like years ago. So maybe if I performed in London now,
so you weren't funny.
I wasn't funny. I'm barely funny now, but I performed in Belfast. And I thought, because I had my experience in London, I thought Belfast, especially Belfast, like very hardworking, like blue collar kind of a town. I was like, oh God, they're going to talk about,
I'm a tour guy.
I'm a tour guy, whatever. You know, I was like, oh, shut the fuck up, right? We're still crying about the Titanic or something. But they're laughing a lot. And I think the secret to...
A happy life.
What's the secret?
I think the secret.
Anyone who announces any secret, I'm ill.
I love the sentence already. Yeah. This is guys, the secret.
This is
the part. Only 500 euros.
Yeah.
This is part of every podcast. There's always this. The secret to success is push-ups. No. It's...
confidence?
No, it's confidence. Well, I'm talking about like in a, say, quote-unquote, colder crowd.
Okay.
Is he kind of... have to address it and then even say you're scared.
Why?
You can make fun of the fact like, dude, you guys are scary people. I'm sorry, I'm just some rich kid who whatever, you make up some story.
Yeah.
And so I remember in Belfast, instead of being like scared, I just started shitting on their city. I was like, this place reeks of unemployment. I don't know, I just went to town and it worked, but I wouldn't have had that if that kind of confidence to say that kind of thing like that if I hadn't started in an area that was a little bit more welcoming in Paris.
Yeah, it must be difficult to get stage time. Like, I don't know anything about the French scene, but from what I hear, it's a little bit like that. You've got to lick arse, you've got to you got a room with the right crowd. I don't know. How is it the French comedy scene?
I mean, you have to start from the bottom, and then we.
Because I've seen that dog shit on Netflix that you guys are fucking selling.
You know, I mean, you do little comedy shows in caves and blah, blah, blah. And then people will just see you perform and just give you the other spots, I guess. But there's this thing. I mean, when I came here from Toulouse a year ago. And when
I always forget that you're a new Hungarian.
Yeah, right. I'm a new Parisian. Mm. And when I came here, I thought, if you're funny on stage, it's enough.
Mm.
But I just discovered that actually you have to socialize
with
other people to get just more spots too. Mm. I was alone, I was trying to work more in as a dentist also to pay the rent. and so I was like, everything was work. I think if I was not in the dental office, I was doing stand up. And then the second I did my set and the show was done, I came back home, didn't have time to, like, I'm not going to drink with you guys. I don't especially have the money, don't want to spend more time, don't want to sleep only 5 hours whatever. And I did that for a while. And I just realized that the second I had more spots is because I had more time just to
socialize,
hang out with people, which is really nice to talk to you guys and do stuff with that. But it's just that getting spots doesn't really have a connection with being funny, I think. It's like, which I understand, because if I had a comedy show, I would be like, I mean, you're nice. You're not causing problems. Yeah, of course, I'm going to give you a spot. And if you're funny, that's a bonus.
Mm.
But
how many comics are there? How many comics on the French comedy scene are there?
Oh, my God. I don't know. Probably, I don't know, 200?
I'd say more than 200, surely. There's about 60 or 70 English comedians.
Yeah. Are you sure about that?
It's probably about 1,000 comics in French.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know. Yeah, you're right.
Is there a
I mean, funny ones? Oh,
no. Yeah. No, we're not asking that.
So there's me and... But no, you're right, right. Probably like 500.
Do you know how many shows there are? Like
very difficult to know. I would say now, because there was an explosion this summer, big explosions on comedy nights in French.
Mm. Are they getting the audiences though? Are they getting the audiences, or is it just like they're just setting them up?
I think the audience is coming also more and more. I mean, I did shows when I came here that were brand new and that struggled to have people. Now they do have people and they open more shows and they do have people also. So
mm-hmm.
I think French people, at least Parisian people, are getting accustomed to stand-up comedy and going just to bars for an hour and then continue their night, which is good.
Great, I think it's going, or unless coronavirus kills us, but I think it's going to keep growing because now... You see on Netflix, like French stand-up specials.
Exactly.
And so,
wow, let's get into that.
See, there are comedy nights run by comedians, and then at one point you can go to places like, I don't know, Café Oscar or the Paname, or I guess the Barbès Comedy Club also, where it's more, I guess, you're more with people who are professionals, I guess.
Okay.
Who only... do that for a living, which is
absolutely crazy.
Yeah, right.
No, I mean, like, some of them people that apparently do it full time.
Yeah,
wow.
And then I guess the game is just about having your 1 hour show. I don't know about that, because I had one in Toulouse. I'm just postponing everything to not to do it in Paris. I don't know, because me, the only thing that I hate is just getting the room packed.
Oh yeah, filling
the
room out.
The stress of having to promote.
Yeah, it's annoying, things, especially when you got.
I don't want to.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is perhaps too easy to just say, you know what, I'll perform in comedy nights run by others, and that's their problems, and I will complain if there isn't
Shut
enough
up,
people.
That's my plan.
Yeah. Right. But you know what? I don't want to have a stressful life. So.
Yeah. Does anyone a bit of a change of topic. Did anyone see the Netflix special of that girl called Lana Glazer? So she is a lady who came through Comedy Lab about in January, I think. She's the one who made Broad City.
Oh no, it was in Amazon Prime. Not on Netflix.
Yes, it's on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, it's very. She as a person,
yeah,
is funny.
Yeah, I agree.
I've seen like just 5-7 minutes of it.
Yeah, what was that moment where you couldn't bear anymore though?
I wasn't interested because she wasn't really doing stand-up. She was talking to her following.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I mean. It was crazy as fuck, wasn't it?
It is weird because it's like, okay, you love me already and you are here because you love me. It's like doing kind of...
it's like, how my bad bitches, all this type of shit. Like.
It's like kind of doing your live podcast,
yeah,
but you're alone. On stage,
you're just telling opinions.
Yeah, but I guess you've kind of written this down a little bit beforehand. But it's like she's doing an Instagram story, but without you know what? Which is, I mean, I get it. How you could love someone, hearing someone talk if you like the personality of this person. So I understand why. The fans
liked
are
it.
Paid their tickets.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not that much. I really love Broad City, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's a great series as well. Yeah.
But I don't love her enough to spend an hour on this.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Did you watch it?
I've seen Broad City, but I haven't seen the stand-up special. I didn't know she had one, but I have a feeling that. So the thing is, when you do a stand-up special, obviously you're gonna have your followers.
Yeah,
right. They're there for true. A reason, but
planting to laugh.
I mean, it's easier. Like, remember Bill Burr said, like, it's so much easier when you're famous.
Wow. Yeah,
because he'd say something like, you know, when you first start off, even when you're like starting to get where you become a traveling comic, you're always in an away game, trying to perform in front of people who don't give two shits about you, right? Whereas when you start to get famous. Even when you're not funny, they'll still kind of cheer for you because, oh, it's my favorite guy.
Mm. They're bought into your shtick.
Shtick. Whereas maybe, correct me, I don't know if you saw it, but Lana Glazer, there's a lot of comedians in general who are like, they try to personality their way to humor than necessarily like trying to build jokes to it.
Definitely. Yeah. Personality.
I mean... I don't know what's her game. I don't know if she's a stand-up comedian.
Improv.
Yeah, improv. I get, but improv. Usually, improv people do written shows like Broad City.
Okay.
Which I understand, and then, I mean, everything to create a following and to have your people watch the show. I totally understand. Now doing, I mean, I don't care actually. She packed her room, so whatever.
Yeah, for me, I see it more as like I was surprised because she came to Comedy Lab in January, and she just sat in the audience and didn't go on stage just for a 5-minute spot. So I was very surprised because her mate, who was also in the show,
she was there. I like the guy.
The two girls were there who wrote it and played in it. Yeah. And I was very surprised when I heard that all these dates are mixing up in my mind anyway now. But I was very surprised that she didn't do a 5-minute spot at the shitty night that we're running. And then she's got a 1-hour special on where she's packing a theatre. In a spirit of a comic, would if you're in a room, you go, oh, if you're a comic.
That's
would you agree
with
that?
I don't think she's a stand-up comedian. I think she's like...
So then why would you make a special then? Because that's... For me, that's... I don't know, like... Also, it's with that sort of content. It was called, like, The World's on Fire and Trump's a Cunt. You know what I mean? It's like, great. This is hilarious.
But it's... What French people do, the distinction between stand-up... And like a seul en scène, like a one man or one woman show.
Yeah, yeah.
Usually it's to say that you're not funny. But I mean, I understand if you want to talk about things.
Yeah, yeah.
You
take a premise and you drag it out for 2 hours.
Yeah, you can sell tickets. Who am I to say I mean, by the way, I don't know if on Amazon Prime they sell it as stand up. You know, because they have those new kind of people. If you see the vignettes, they're just their names, and that's it. It's not like stand-up special, I think. I think.
Okay.
I might be wrong, but...
I would probably do that. If I film one like that, yeah. Like, it's not even stand-up, it's just, just having a chat.
And you and I will have like Tim Dillon.
Yeah, yeah.
I would definitely go see Tim Dillon, even not doing his stand-up act, just ranting about stuff.
Yeah, because his ranting is just fucking hilarious, isn't it?
But, so I guess, I understand how if you like someone... You're like hearing someone, you could just have a show.
It's like that YouTuber sort of phenomena, isn't it? You know, where YouTubers now just fill out good meet and greets, rooms, and they've got absolutely no substance of any kind. Mm. But it's like, yeah, people like it. There you go, enjoy it.
Yeah, it's a lot of yes, queen.
I'll get to that queen comment. But to the Ilana Glazer thing in the crowd with, what's her name? Jacobson?
What?
The friend.
Okay.
So her being in the crowd, not performing. I get what you're saying, but at the same time, I think as a famous and she's supposed to be a funny person, if she shows up on stage and she's not funny and she's supposed to be the famous funny person, that could be a very bad look for her.
Yeah, that's the whole game. If you're like a real stand-up comic,
you're immune to that
you're
shit.
But I get it. I mean, I wouldn't... You know what?
Yeah, she did look like she didn't want to bottle it.
Yeah. I mean, the second I have my show on IFC or whatever network, I'm not going on stage to do 5 minutes because I'd be too afraid. I don't know.
You think you won't do 5 minutes?
Well, no, for example.
that's the whole idea, though, isn't it? The whole idea is just like you get up and just say something.
Yeah, I guess I would.
But maybe she does... There's just days where you don't want to do stand-up.
Yeah, that is true, though.
You just want to not work.
Not the biggest deal. And if she does want to like write me into something in one of her shows, that'd be fucking fine. And I don't mind about that.
That was Alex's opinion, not mine.
There was this other show on Netflix of... Fuck, this... comedian... what was her name? That's a friend of Nick Kroll. Does that ring a bell? And
I've never seen that. She called Michelle Watson or something.
No, that's
no.
I was thinking about her. She's Jewish.
Yes, I love her. I only know her show.
I saw her special.
Yeah, and her special was like 20 minutes of stand up and like 40 minutes of documentary with her life and her parents or whatever in her home. And I liked it. I mean, okay. I'm at home. I didn't pay a ticket for this, but I'm okay with it because I like the personality of the person, and she's funny. What was her name?
I like how all this could have been solved by just us taking out our phones every single time.
Like, my phone is over there.
My phone's too far.
I'm not going to look. I'm sorry.
But she does come from improv too.
Okay.
You know, there's this thing when those people are from the improv scene.
Mm.
They might have done stand-up also. But their shows are not punchline.
It's all personality, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like Paul F. Tompkins. Do you know Paul F. Tompkins? He does podcasts also, and he kind of does like storytelling also on stage, etc. And I mean, he's funny. I would definitely pay a ticket to see him on stage, but I will not expect a stand-up comedy
show per se.
Yeah, per se. Yeah, but I kind of don't care. It's like an etiquette that we give stand-up comedies just to say what? To say that you have to have a laugh every, 10 seconds or whatever.
According to Jerry Seinfeld, every 12 seconds.
Okay. Well, none of us achieve that, but I don't really know. Yeah, it is interesting though. A few new people. Who do you think the funniest person you've seen in Paris is?
In the English scene? Or?
No, just like in terms of real comedian.
Okay.
In English?
Yeah. I seen Louis C.K. last year. He was fucking hilarious.
I haven't seen him. I wasn't there.
It was around about that time, you know, when they recorded his work and put it out there.
Yeah, right. I wasn't there for Louis C.K. I wasn't there for Seinfeld. I'm just here when Alex is up.
Same audience. I saw Dave Chappelle twice.
Twice?
Not like he came to Paris twice.
And you saw him the...
I saw him twice. But the second time was funnier.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Was it the one, the recent show?
No, this recent show.
Yeah, I've seen that one as well. Did you like that?
Feeling you didn't?
No, I did. I liked that. Just because I said it like that.
Did you like that?
I didn't mean it like that.
The way you phrase it.
I hate the way that my tone can really...
this Chappelle, I thought he was
fucking
guy.
No, I didn't fucking mean it like that. I just say, in comparison to Louis C.K.,
I didn't see Louis C.K., that's why I can't.
For the late Chappelle show, I was sat right at the fucking back and it was grim, that. For Louis C.K., I was like right on the front row. The theatre where it was, I felt like I was sat behind a load of bollards, just like looking around the corner. It was fucking sad. That's why I was saying, did you like it? Because for me, my experience was just like, fucking hell, these seats are very expensive.
I was way up as well, but I could still see them. But
yeah. He goes hard on it. He's like, I don't know, he's turned into like a trans comic now, isn't he?
He has his favorite subjects now.
That's a big subject. Like, he's dedicated like half an hour to it, and it's like he did that for the last two specials.
It's weird
as well.
That the whole subject even is mediatically covered. It's like 0.2% of the population.
Yeah.
No one should care. Yeah, it's like you know what? You want to transition? Go ahead. No one cares.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about it. I know. And I guess it's a problem in the US, like just go shit.
Yeah.
And just get out of there.
Have you been to Chanoir's toilet?
No, the dumb argument is, because of that, you know, they'll attack the women in the bathrooms. Like, a rapist is not going to see the bathroom sign and like, I was going to rape a girl, but there's this bathroom sign, I'm out. Mm-hmm. If he's going to do, he's going to do, unfortunately.
I just think like quite a lot of those subjects are being overplayed, aren't they? As if like it's like a big thing when it's just not.
Yeah.
When I say a big thing, it's like just ragging on it all the time. It's like, okay. It's a bit like, I don't know. I don't know exactly what I'm trying to say about it.
But it's kind of a vicious circle, I guess, because I get how you could take the subject and do funny bits about it. Mm. And then if you say the wrong thing, journalists will say you said the wrong thing, then... the subject is then mediatically covered and everyone's talking about this. And then you do more jokes because everybody's talking about this to be relevant, et cetera. But it
kind of plays into that whole idea, doesn't it? Sorry, I didn't want to cut you then. But it's just that kind of identity politics that's kind of taking over everything everywhere. But how much it really is, I'm not really sure because I don't know if... everyone's on YouTube, so you think that actually that is what's really going on when really no one's really talking about it so much when you're in the street or in the bar, not everyone's there going...
I mean, we're in the kind of the center of that because there's always, oh, I can't do that joke because I am blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
Like Alex is all for the dumb people.
I'm allowed to. I'm dumb.
You're allowed. Yeah. Which I hate, by the way, that thing about like saying, I can talk about this, you can't, whatever. It's like, just listen to my words and then you will decide.
But maybe that's what those heckles are like these days, aren't they? Because heckles maybe in the past, they might have been a bit more like, you shit, mate, get off stage. Now it's like, I don't agree with what you said, actually. It's like, shut up.
Yeah, actually, I realize, like, the heckles I've heard a lot recently has nothing to do with...
Yeah, the
like I've missed the days where it's like your shit is just. I think one time a couple years ago I made a joke about Eskimos, and then someone corrected me by saying like the specific tribe of the Eskimo, and I was just like I didn't understand why
you would want to stop this. Yeah, right.
Like, that's the... I don't know. It's just...
like someone who watches a movie and he's like, well, actually...
No, actually, no. I think the perfect comparison is, like, if you watch a movie about slavery and then you're like, hey, that is wrong. I hate this.
Oh, yeah, right. You're just against what's happening.
It's like that Django, isn't it? Like, I was watching the kind of... the round table of all the actors who were in Django, and the first question was kind of directed at Jamie Foxx was just saying, like, how do you feel about playing a slave in Quentin Tarantino's movie? You know, as right. if to, as if to say, like, he doesn't have the right to write this script. And it's what a fantastic film, you know. If you can't, I don't know, if you can't, if there are certain subjects that they're saying that you can't really touch on.
Problem is, they always attack the wrong side of the problem. It's not like you shouldn't write a movie, because they will tell you it's about like diversity in the cinema, for example. It's like, well, no, the problem is you should fund more movies that are written by black people, but not prevent Tarantino to make his movies. It just doesn't matter. I mean, more art will solve the problem, not less art from certain people. That's just the thing, but whatever.
Good take. My thought is,
I don't watch.
You guys
movies.
See the movie? I refuse. I just watch improv artists. Did you guys see the movie Jojo Rabbit?
Not yet.
Nah.
Well, that the main point to what we were saying was about, it's a satire movie about this little Nazi boy, 10-year-old boy, his best friend's an imaginary Hitler, right? And so it's this big satire movie, but basically the whole movie's, and then like in the movie, there's like the little boy's like, you know, says like, oh, you know, you Jews have horns and, you know, all that, like everything. But they're saying that just to show how ridiculous Nazis were. And a lot of people are like, you shouldn't make that kind of movie. Mm-mm. Why would Hitler be the best friend of a 10-year-old boy? It's like, no, it's.
Well, that's the pitch of my movie. I was like, you shouldn't, yeah.
Imaginary people, imaginary friends of fictional characters aren't real.
Yeah. Don't watch it. Plus, I don't get people that are angry at a movie. I mean, I get if the message of the movie is wrong, but just the fact that it exists shouldn't be a problem. But it's usually, I mean, lately it's been this. It's been, you shouldn't have made that movie. No. I mean, even movies that make me angry, I'm glad they're here because I feel something.
I mean, I'd rather, I forgot what, I'm good at almost knowing quote. It fucking sucks.
But in every quote, I put my name in it. Alex, I am your father.
it's more about just like how basically like you shouldn't censor art, and then that like you kind of need art that crosses that level,
crosses
the line to know what your line is. Oh, yeah. And that throughout history, the line has gone like higher and higher, and that's a good thing. But the people are complaining now, but oh, you shouldn't talk about these things. Maybe in the 1920s, they'd have been the same one, like, oh, you shouldn't put black people on TV or something.
Yeah, right.
It's like, all right.
Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes it's the arty-farty folk as well. They've got all the opinions, you know. They'll go to Pali Tokyo and look at some guy living inside of a bear for a week or something. And they have that shit, don't they? You know what I mean? And they're the ones who've got all the opinions on like what you can and can't say. It's like, mate, just go to your fucking shitty exhibition. Pay 15 euros in, just shut your mouth, go home.
Now I'm picturing you doing your set in a bear.
I actually like
Guys, this is art form, all right? Anyway.
Have you been to Bali Tokyo, though?
I think I've been.
I think I've been there once.
Yeah. Yeah, once probably, yeah. I don't know. I don't even remember the exhibit.
I saw the best exhibit I saw there actually was they have it was like a murder scene that had been like installation made in sort of four rooms, and you could see someone had been murdered, there's blood along the floor, all this, and then eventually you come to the final room and you find out what really happened. Mm-hmm. That was good.
And what he killed himself. Was the point of the?
Of the exhibition.
Was
I don't really know. Like, well, there is no point in that sort of, you know, that modern sort of
right.
installation or exhibition places.
Usually the artist kind of is always like pitching some high thing about what he or she wanted to do.
Yeah. You get that. That was where I used to try and do that a little bit when I first came to Paris. On Wednesdays, if you go around like Saint-Michel and a few other places around there, the Marais, they have like student art exhibitions where they're just holding their own art exhibition and they've rented out a little shop and there's free wine and a few nibbles and that, and you just walk around like, yeah, very good, very good. And I used to try and find friends there, but then I realized, oh, I can't spend any time with these type of people. Although it is free wine, so that's always the compromise.
Yeah. I've had a trying to find friends in Paris kind of like a very compromising. You're like, what am I even doing here? For like 6 months, for some reason, I had a phase where I only had like Mexican friends, but not like, oh, I'm not even like, oh, I'm like, French and I happen to have Mexican roots.
Did you use burritos?
it was just like Mexicans and there's like one Spanish person, but basically I'd hang out with them and they'd all speak Spanish to each other. And I was just like, yeah, I can practice my Spanish. Hola, ¿qué tal? I could speak a little bit of Spanish, but not like... And then like, they weren't really trying to make an effort to be my friend.
It was all one-sided.
And I still tried. No, that's like the saddest part. The saddest part is I went to Disneyland with them.
Oh my God, that is sad. Just on its own of itself.
This is so sad.
With people who don't even want you there.
He was alone with his Disney mouth.
I was like almost on the verge of tears at Disneyland. I was like, what am I doing? And it was just... And then it's funny, because then at some point, you know, like when you go to a bar and then you meet some friends, but you're like, eh, it's all right. You do like a, hey guys, I'm gonna hang out a little early, whatever. So I did that same stupid thing, but like at Disneyland.
And it was 10:30 a.m. Well, the guy was like, I get it. I'm gonna leave you here, right? Like, I would have you good, right?
I got work in the morning, you know, I gotta.
I work next week.
The happiest place on earth.
Yeah, so it was the happiest place on earth. This is just so funny.
I was there actually last Monday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Is it open?
When are we? This is Saturday. Oh, this Monday. I was.
You were there on Monday?
Yeah, Disney Nom.
You just decided to go like that?
Yeah, we kind of, with my girlfriend and a friend of ours, we just, you know what, let's be children again.
Mm.
Let's go there, spend the day just doing, you know, the...
That sounds great.
The attractions, and that's all.
I've met a few people in Paris who are about in the 20s, 30s, and they have a subscription to a yearly pass.
This I kind of don't understand, because now I've done the whole thing. I really wanted to do the Star Wars thing.
Yeah.
But now that I've done it, I cannot see myself going back again.
No.
Okay, get it. Well, I get the whole roller coaster.
Something's
thing.
Wrong with you, isn't there? Really, let's have it right. You can't be running around Disneyland 25 years of age. Once a month, just like. People are going to think something's odd, aren't they? Let's have it right.
I mean, I like the design of like the streets or whatever, but it's not that great that you want to spend another time there.
No.
I mean, it's not like, I think there's a Harry Potter thing in London, and I think they kind of managed to really do it like you're really in the world of Harry Potter even when you're on the street.
Okay.
And this I can understand. And right. I know they've done something like this also in Los Angeles, I think, for the Star Wars thing, where you're supposed to be on Tatooine, right?
Yeah.
So everyone you will see, even you, have to dress as somebody from Star Wars, I think. But
just knocking about on Diagon Alley. Imagine that. I would, if that was the case and it was like live action role play or whatever it is, I would do that. I don't mind.
Yeah, definitely. So if this was... This,
if you could write alcohol, if that,
yeah,
if you could.
Obviously. I would definitely understand the yearly subscription. It would be like a little bit of Westworld, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it's just like, okay, just, it's not that. It's just
for me,
stores.
I think the yearly subscription would maybe only work if it was 20 minutes away. I'm like, all right, it's next door. I could go. But it takes forever to go there. I'm not going to, like, half the trip is, like, this is where we got the coronavirus in this fucking train.
Yeah.
No, it's not worth it.
By the way.
And there's kids. That's the worst.
Oh, yeah, right. Screaming always.
I never, like, I went to Disneyland, like, last year, and there's parents that brought kids like this, like babies, essentially. Why? Because they're always crying. And the thing is, at some point, my friend and I, we were sitting at a restaurant, and then we're looking at the parents and their kids, and the parents were just like, like hyperventilating, and then they just like gave them screens to look at,
right.
So that they shut up, right? And you're just like, can you imagine spending like, I don't know, hundreds of euros to go to Disneyland just
watch
so,
this.
Just so the whole conclusion is shut up and like look at a screen, and the kids are not gonna like, at least little babies, they're not gonna remember this.
It's really weird to watch a Disney on the iPad instead of watching Disney there in real life.
There's Disney Plus right there. I know, it's like, I've said this all the time on the Eiffel Tower. It's like, there's people who bring babies. It's like, or even little kids. They're never going to remember this or appreciate this. They're just going to fucking be...
That's like most things in life, though, isn't it? I'm never going to remember or appreciate. So that's just... I feel like I'm constantly going through
that. Honestly, like, if I'm a father... And I, my
you
wife,
are, by the way.
I am. Just, let's forget about that trip in the Ukraine. But it's like, if I'm going to do vacation somewhere, it's just going to be like to the park with my kid.
To the park.
Yeah, because it's just because I'm not going to spend money for something that's just going to give me a hard time. And then, like, I don't know, once the kid's 10, maybe we'll go somewhere. But like...
Wouldn't you? Okay, I get how you want to do parenting. I guess you want to put them in a school for the first 10 years, not see them, and then you have it back.
Like, hey, join a tennis camp or something. I don't know.
Tennis camp for 10 years straight.
I used to run a summer camp in England before I came over to Paris. There was it was like. Language camp, so we'd have like 50 kids come over to England, and it was my job as like I ran the company, started it, and so we'd have kids coming from France, Germany, Italy, all there, and we had to look after them for a month. I had to give them an education, and then I had to like find them a house to live in and all this type of with activities. It was rough. That was one of the worst decisions I ever had to do.
Yes, that's 50. That's a lot.
I know, man. I had to, and I was just kind of making it up as I went along as well. So it was like. I would be like, what are we doing for activities today? We're like, we're playing football. Like, my mum paid $2,000 for this. Like, yeah, well, she should have been more careful, shouldn't she? In the end, I stopped.
Well, it's a scam. What do you want me to say?
Okay, how would you like me now?
I need to pay my rent, okay?
Here's your education.
Fuck. Yeah, it was rough. But the reason why I stopped it was just because, like, for example, they all had a curfew to get home at like 10 o'clock. I wouldn't see them after like between 6, but well, probably between like 5 in the afternoon and 10 o'clock. So at 10 o'clock, I'd just receive a phone call from every single parent. Like, they've not come home. So now I've not even got a driving license. So I'm just like, wonder where they are. And then you just have to kind of launch a search party every night. And then, I gave up because I was just like, thought to myself, if a kid dies in my care, then that's pretty fucked, isn't it, for me, for the rest of my life. Obviously, I'd feel bad for the kid as well. But yeah, I couldn't really live for myself. Yeah.
And then the kid.
But yeah.
And then family.
Okay, now I know why you're in France, because you have a police warrant.
Yeah. You lost 10 kids out of 15. That's a lot.
I'm like classic expatriate. It's like, I'm dark and mysterious. It's like, no, you're a Muppet, mate.
Yeah, that's true. For expats, they can recreate their personality, I guess.
Of course.
I mean, no one knows them. So you're like, oh, maybe, you know what? Maybe I'll be the cool guy. Maybe I'll stop being whatever I was before.
You don't leave and just leave everything because it was going so well back at home. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was winning and then decided, give it all up, start again.
Yeah, you're the new kid in school, so now you can rewrite your history a little bit.
Yeah.
Does that ever happen? Like, you're the nerd at your previous school, and then the next school, you're like, they don't know who I am yet. And they become cool. No, they're still the nerd.
We know, we smell it on you.
Yeah, yeah. The nerd vibe will come out. You cannot like buy a leather jacket and then forget that you love Star Trek or whatever.
Oh shit, I wonder if like the reverse happens, like I'm the cool kid at my school.
Yeah, that would be a fun script though.
I was the cool kid.
That's my new school,
you're
I'm the nerd.
Kid, and then you're like, oh my god, I'm becoming the nerd I was bullying.
Bullying. The good old days.
Oh yeah, we've done a lot.
Yeah.
Now we're 40. You want to plug something?
Just for me, it's come down to Comedy Lab on Wednesdays and Fridays. Yeah, we've got two shows. That'd be nice.
This is the first one I'm doing in English, so I don't even know what would be the audience. Probably just us comedians. Yeah,
and anyone who's offended.
Yeah. Actually, do you want to say something to the English comedy scene? Because they're all listening to us.
Well, actually, can I say one last thing? Who thinks... Yeah, I know you're
I love how controversial you are. We left it to the end of the most controversial. Go on then.
No, no, no.
Yeah, right.
I know my lawyer present.
I know your answer is nobody. Who do you like the best in terms of English stand-up comedian amongst us?
You're saying amongst us as in us three side?
Make it more awkward.
No, he's talking about the whole comedy scene. I would have to go with Paul Taylor.
Okay.
Wait, so you've been... Wait, so you've been making fun of the whole expat thing.
Yeah,
and that's Paul Taylor, literally his whole act.
No, yeah, I'm only joking. I don't really know. I've never seen... Why does Paul Taylor not do the English comedy scene? That surprises me.
Because he doesn't need to.
He doesn't need to?
Super...
Yeah.
Why has he got that Nikki Glaser bug where like you just got an audience?
I know. Yeah, definitely. He has,
is that not Nikki Glaser? Lana.
He's
Lana,
doing like hour shows at La Nouvelle Scène or whatever, and you always have a lot of people. So
okay,
I guess at one point,
whatever gets you through the night.
But I've performed with him at the Pan Am. So sometimes,
does he play Pan Am? Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, I saw him there twice, but
yeah. Do you see him? Do you go on many like? Do you
I see, used to see him you, a lot, but he blew up and
now he's not. Now texting he's on me the back.
He's on the moon.
He's on the moon.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Who would you say is the funniest on the scene?
Okay, I'm trying to remember.
The thing is, I'm trying to remember people.
Yeah, right. I'm trying to get the feeling of like, oh, which one? I'm like, okay. No, you all make me sad.
Yeah, I don't know. There's no one who comes to mind, is there, who goes out there killing? I see it very much. We are all.
I don't. Oh yeah, maybe I don't know the like a consistent act, but you make me laugh.
Oh, don't do
when you are pissed off.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what? Because I'm bombing, so I just go, oh, fuck everyone.
Yes.
So great.
No, by the way, this is hard. Ranting on stage, this is hard. This is what I tried to do, by the way, on Wednesday, and I bombed. It's very difficult for me to find my ranting voice on stage. And I feel like I shouldn't rant on stage. I like doing it on podcasts.
Right.
But the crowd doesn't allow me to rant. I don't know. They perhaps... This is my face. Perhaps I
think you have a nice face.
And I shouldn't rant.
Oh, Michael Jackson voice. I'm just kidding.
I don't know.
You got a like friendly, approachable face.
You definitely have a friend. You have a friendly guy. For me, it's a bit like, because obviously I've only been doing it for a very short period of time. This moment, so I don't really feel very established in knowing. I don't feel like I know what I'm doing in any way. I don't necessarily feel like, you know, one day I'll be doing it like that, another day like that. I don't feel set on anything, to be honest with you.
I agree. I'm starting to know what's working. I think. No, do you feel like this, Alex, or have you locked down your persona?
It's never worked. Let's go.
I like watching Sarah Donnelly. I think because I like her approach with the crowd.
I've only ever seen her play twice. Mm. I think she's got a strong personality, hasn't she, on yeah. stage?
Yeah, this thing.
Krishna's funny. I to be honest with you, I like his stuff, and when especially like some of the video stuff he's been doing, like I don't know, because I think his whole act with kind of like feeling very awkward, but like letting that silence go. I don't know if it's intentional, but to be honest with you, he's one of the person who when I watch it, I'm creasing, I'm pissing my sides. But I don't know. It's everyone's got a different taste, haven't they? Do you know what I mean?
What's your taste, Alex Kidio?
It's me. I'm the best. Actually, I asked the question, but I don't really know.
You don't really know.
Yeah, yeah, I just asked the question for dead air time.
But usually, what's the... I mean, do you have a dark sense of humor, you two, or perhaps a more lighter, absurd
I have a
comedy?
Dark sense of humor. That's why I said, I like Luke when he goes into his rants. Whereas no one's laughing, I'm the only one shrieking in the back.
I love yeah, that's true, because I love hate. I love when somebody's exuding like darkness a little bit, and I really like that. Really, sincerely. Just, I'm like,
frustration makes me laugh. I don't know.
I think Anna's good as well. I think she's good. Yeah. You know, like, but she, I think she has a bit, she was saying that she has a bit of a confidence problem when she didn't want to go on stage so much. But I think if she did, if she went on more and just kept going, I think that she would get much better, like, very quickly.
I'm thinking now, I'm going to have to cut off everything from this
section.
Because everyone who will not be named will be like, huh?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I don't think I'm fine. Yeah. I'm making political statements, just like, yeah, I think everyone's been doing it over 5 years. It's fantastic. I think their material is really current. I think anyone who's been like dragging the same 5 minutes along the road for the past 10 years, that's wonderful as well. If anything, it's a shining example of what we should be doing. there's nothing better than a good stereotype. You know, for me, when I hear stereotypes, I think to myself, fuck, I wish I'd thought of that. You know? French people smell. Really?
I don't know. How to be friend with everyone.
Just say. And hate everyone at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Anyway, Luke plugged
Comedy Lab.
Wednesdays, Fridays.
Au Chat Noir. Belleville.
Yeah.
Ocaron.
I mean, the people who are listening to this, they're just the comedians.
They know, yeah, right.
But the comedians aren't going to listen to this point, are they? Let's let it right. No one's. If anyone is listening to this now,
basically,
this is your problem.
We're probably just speaking to ourselves in the future. So, hi, Oreski from the future. I hope everything is great. Should we follow you on Instagram or no?
I guess. Alex Q Comedy. Q as in the letter Q Comedy.
No shows, no 30 minutes, nothing like
I used
this.
To. I wish she'd done this podcast a year ago. I guess just add me on Instagram.
Live Luke Charles as well. But yeah.
Yeah.
I need to start doing that again. Okay. Yeah. That's
it. Anyway, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thanks for having us, man. I appreciate it. You got a nice place here.
This is the place that's more important, right? Yeah, I was supposed to record more podcasts Monday, but the studio is closed because of the virus.
So many people.
This is a cool sentence, by the way.
Because of the virus.
So I might do it here.
So many companies are just going to fucking fold, aren't they now? It's like, it's mental. The amount of, and because you must know quite a few people who are worried about the job.
The guys who work at my company, they're good because they're a salary, but I don't know a lot of other guides who are
paid by
workers.
Oh, yeah, those people are self-employed.
They are.
Now, aren't they?
Fucked.
Yeah, nothing's going to happen. 2,000 people, no, nothing.
And again,
famous last words.
Jinx.
Family died. Like,
every like archaeologist listening to this podcast, listen to these fucks. They are just before 1 billion people died.
We laugh, but the back of our head, we're like, could 1 billion people die from this?
Nah.